We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 217 weeks into 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside, I can't say it any longer because it could offend some of the other contributors. Marty Foster. Marty, how are you?
I'm really well. Thank you very much for asking. How are you, Johnny?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Into the events of the day, shall we?
Good as time as any to get stuck right in. Mm-hmm. And without further ado or prevarication, we will begin any moment now.
Is it provocation or prevarication?
Provocation would be if I was goading you into something. Prevarication is the same as, what's the word? Oh, I can't believe I've forgotten another word. Where you put things off.
Where you procrastinate?
Procrastination. Prevarication and procrastination are the... See, I don't remember the word procrastinate because I never do it.
Yeah, you are a human dictionary after all, so...
Well, yeah.
Right, I suppose we shall jump right into the events of the day. Unfortunately, Vince is not going to be joining us today. He's currently tearing a pig apart, isn't he?
Well, they've torn the pig apart.
Next to his vegan lobster, I think.
Yeah, the vegan lobsters were fun. With the carrots, but it's a festival in the Philippines right now, and so he's doing his son-in-lawly duty and gone to his in-laws for dinner, which the centerpiece of was another lechon, whole cooked suckling pig, and they've already demolished it, just the little eyes staring out.
Well, I hope that it was a nice festival, and I hope that they ate a lot of food. So, he will not be joining us due to.
I bet as well, despite the fact that he'll deny it, that there might have been two or three Fundador brandies, a couple of Red Horse lagers, as well as his glass of red wine consumed, because you can't have a party in the Philippines without booze.
Red Horse Lagers. The first thing that came to my mind was Killian's.
Was what?
Don't you remember Killian's? That's what we used to call it in the States, Killian's. It was the
Killian's, no?
Yeah, it was the Killian's Irish Red. It was an Irish lager that we used to have like 20-something years ago.
Red Horse is incredibly strong, and you have to have a great...
This was, too. I'll see if I can find it.
If you look up Red Horse and look at the percentage of alcohol put by volume, you'll see normal beers here in the UK are about 4.5. A strong beer is about 6.5. Red Horse, I think, is way above that.
That's it.
Similar sort of packaging, actually. But just humor me for a moment and look up Red Horse Philippines.
I guess that's there you it.
Go. Yeah, and is there any indication of the strength? It might be on one
extra
of the labels.
Extra strong is all it says. I think that's all it needs to say, right?
It's way and above other beers, commercially available. And it's the sort of stuff that gives you an instant headache. So
I found that Guinness would do that whenever I would do that back in the day. I mean, obviously I don't touch alcohol anymore, but I always found that would be a problem because it's essentially if I talk to a true Irishman, it's essentially bread in a glass is how they describe
it.
Yeah,
it's it's soup that makes you fight, basically. Yeah, it's extremely carb high. It's got loads of nutrients in it. I mean, they prescribe it to pregnant women to a certain extent because it's very high in iron, and of course, or women who want to get pregnant, because iron and folic acid and all those kind of things are supposed to be good preparation for childbirth and conceiving. So
only in Ireland would they prescribe alcohol as a remedy for something.
Yeah, well, it's not like 8 pints of Guinness, is it? It might be a pint of Guinness.
No, because you want 8 pints, don't you? You always want 8. Yeah.
10. Yeah, no, that's Vince. That's got in your head with Vince.
It does now.
Having a go at me about raising one hand and saying 6 pints, please, because I come from the little backwater that is Norfolk, where supposedly inbreeding, you know, is the in thing.
Okay, I'm not gonna. I mean no disrespect by what you just said, or by what I'm about to say, but from what you just said, nor do I mean any disrespect to the individuals that I know that live there. But have you seen some of the Antifa members that are in that are in the Norfolk chapter and the Norwich chapter?
I can't say I have. But
oh my actually, goodness, I'll have to pull you some Polaroids here so you can have a gander.
But down here in the south, in some of these little deprived towns, such as the one I live in, you'll walk around and you'll think, am I the same species as some of these people that are there? So
here's
one. I get where you're coming from.
Here's one. This is a biological male, by the way, just so you're aware. This is an Antifa member from the Norfolk chapter of Antifa.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, and there are several others here. Here's another.
Well, he looks like an ex-heavyweight boxer. His nose is all over his face. He's an actor. That guy's an actor.
He's an actor? Okay. Here's another. Well, this is a couple, actually.
And then, yeah, okay, they're both male as well. But you see, we're going to come on to the Eurovision Song Contest. Is he still alive? He can't
No,
be.
He died in, when did he die? 2012.
All right, yeah. Ridiculous human.
Yeah, see, here's another. You see what I mean? These are the...
Yeah, okay, point taken.
Huh? Yeah, Young Communist League of East England, there you go, yeah.
She's quite pretty.
Would you want to meet that in a back alley somewhere? I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't, no. But we're going to come on a bit later about the Eurovision Song Contest, aren't we?
We are, yes. We do have some of that lined up.
It's been all over, particularly GB news, talking about, you know, how people are outraged by the performances and the costumes. And
let's just do it now, since you're bringing it up. Let's just do it now. We'll just jump right into that. So this is the do we want audio with this? Or do we want to just discuss?
Is this the Irish one first?
This is the Irish one, yeah.
Let's have a little bit, just a small clip.
All right. So this is the Irish candidate or whatever. Okay, I can't. I cannot do it.
No. Can't do anymore. It's bloody awful. But this is the thing about Eurovision. It used to be a singing and songwriting competition. Okay, when you're able to write a song that can appeal to a whole continent, and it's played on radio and in discos, nightclubs, and even just in people's homes because you've made a really good song, that's worth, you know, celebrating and still worth doing. But these f***ers have to outweird themselves year on year, and it's getting more and more bizarre in the performances. It's got nothing to do with the quality of the song, and it's got more to do with the political voting to let other countries know how much you hate them or love them by voting nil pois or 12 pois accordingly. So it's, yeah, it's a joke. And do you know what? People in the UK still have parties when Eurovision is on, and people will go around to each other's houses, have a few drinks, and by and large, and actually I'll come back to by and large because that's what most of the contestants are these days, laugh at the efforts being put forward by these different countries. But this, I mean, the Irish one, yes, it did appear to be demonic or satanistic, whichever way you want to call it. But that's because they're trying to rebel. Pop music has always been a rebellion. And within Ireland, you've got either staunch Protestant, Presbyterian ideals, or more likely staunch Catholic ideals, which their young musicians and songwriters wish to rebel against. So what better way to rebel than to put something that looks like the summoning of a demon as your entry to the Eurovision Song Contest? But the United Kingdom, or England, yeah, England, the United Kingdom in this case, it's basically gay soft porn that they've put on stage this year.
Well, I think it's more than that. It just, you know, kind of expanding out from Eurovision, I think it's more than that. Have you looked at some of these performances from this the Sam Smith character? It's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's happening on Eurovision with its big budget is trying to out flamboyant Sam Smith even. And what it's becoming is normalization of things that are far from normal. We've moved on. We've got the rights of gay people enshrined in law. We've got the right to same-sex marriage. Do we need to have, and I hate to use the phrase, but this kind of overt homosexuality thrust down our throats? Do we need it? No.
Yes. If you are the Chinese Communist Party and you're waging open, unlimited, unrestricted warfare against the West, along with Russia, then yes, you do need it.
Well, the poor individuals that are, you know, out flamboyancing each other on Eurovision have no idea how they are being used by these kind of organizations, by the Chinese Communist Party, how it's undermining everything. They don't realize. They've got every right to celebrate their sexuality, be whoever they want to be, and perform whatever they want to perform. But there's limits, and that kind of thing shouldn't be on television that kids are going to watch. It should be within the safe space of gay bars and festivals where only adults attend, but lots and lots of kids sort of 10, 12, 13 years old are going to be watching the Eurovision Song Contest, and they are going to see some absolutely unnecessary performances. And as if by magic, wearing the uniform of gay rights, we have Vince in a wife-beater vest, because obviously he will by now have the meat sweats after eating all that lechon.
I am sweating a little bit.
And to be honest, he does have some very large pythons he's carrying on his shoulders there. If you didn't see,
he's got some big guns. But he helped me actually, because I've always had fairly large arms and was quite strong. But my muscle, my bicep, never used to bunch into that definable muscle until I started training with Vince. And I am eternally in your debt, sir.
You're very welcome. No problem. It was good to have a training partner.
Yeah, well, only because you make fun of me. But
if I were in your vicinity, I'd be dragging you to the gym every day too. So I don't blame you.
Gym and then swimming straight after, which was very good.
Yeah. I always do a 15-20 minute sauna session after that too. So I sweat all that stuff out.
All right. I did when I was in Gold's Gym in Abu Dhabi. I used to train for 45-50 minutes and then go to the sauna, which was well over 100 degrees C.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And do 20 minutes in there. And I would check my pulse before I went in, and it would be much the same when I came out as it would have been if I'd been doing quite a high cardio session. So it's I do like a sauna.
Yeah. I was actually saying when we started about 15 minutes ago, I was saying that it was unfortunate that you were not going to be able to join us today. How was the party?
Very good as usual. Everyone was very polite and just kept feeding me food and asking me if I was okay. And that was really good.
I may have done you a disservice because you're not slurring. You're not slurring your words. I said, well, it's a Filipino party. There's going to be Fundador brandy and some Red Horse there. And you may have partaken.
No, I was offered a number of alcoholic beverages, which I turned down because although the fiesta is for our town, our children go to a school in the next town up the road, so there's no time off. So they're in school tomorrow. My son's actually got two exams in the morning, and after I drop them off, tomorrow is leg day in the gym, so I didn't want to be getting up early to drive them, and the traffic's quite bad. Bad drivers as opposed to a lot of traffic.
Yeah, never skip leg day.
No, leg day's my day today, so I have to go today.
Even I am quite happy to rip the piss out of someone with a massive triangular torso and skinny little legs underneath. You should never skip leg day.
Yeah. One a good kind of slag for someone that looks like that is to say, nice legs. The last time I saw legs like that, they were hanging out of a nest.
Yeah. Oh, mate, you got a bit of cotton hanging from the...
Which I did say when I was in the School of Infantry, there was one of the clerks, a female, very, very attractive lady, but very thin legs. And I'd had a couple one Friday night at happy hour, and she was sitting there in a short skirt with a leg crossed. And I said, you know what? I figure out her name. You know what? The last time I saw legs like that, they were hanging out of a nest. And she says, mine still do. I was like, okay, I'll get myself off the bed.
I would course for that these days.
I would like to thank you for sending over some of your culinary expertise this morning, the vegan lobster. I'll be looking forward to making one of those this weekend.
Yeah, I thought that was quite funny. Yeah.
We were just discussing as you were coming in, the Eurovision Song Contest for the year. Did you see one of the contestants?
No, I haven't watched any of that.
I will show you what it is. So this was it.
There's no audio on that. So
no, there's no audio. You don't want to hear the audio.
The audio is awful. This is the Irish. It's the Irish entry.
Okay. They usually do quite well, don't they? I think to the extent where they were going to not want to win because it costs so much to, because if you win, you host the next one. And they'd won quite a few in a row and it was becoming expensive. And there was no return on the investment. It's like the Olympics where you have the Olympics and everyone goes for the next few years and you recoup some of the money and you get tours of the old Olympic Park. To host the Eurovision Song Contest is quite pricey. And I think they did it 2 or 3 years in a row, or they did it 3 years in five, and they said it's too expensive. We're not seeing any money back.
Yeah, so they're doing the equivalent of a boxer taking a dive in the third there, aren't they? They're basically not wanting to win. But one thing that really grips my shit about media, they see a pentagram and they immediately assume that whoever's displaying the pentagram is a Satanist, evil. The actual symbol itself goes way back in pagan religion. It's got nothing to do with the evil. It is, in fact, a protective symbol. And that's why most of these nonsensical summoning ceremonies where you summon a demon to answer a question uses the pentagram, because it's about protection.
We actually... what we were discussing in prep between the, we were talking about yin-yang philosophy and that kind of stuff. You could actually equate it even to parts of that. If you look at the 5 points that they mentioned there, then you could, and it's the way that it's arranged, you can make that same assumption almost. When I see it, that was the first thing that came to my mind, was that.
Was what? That it's evil?
Points. No, not that it's evil, but the symbol itself, that what it symbolizes, you got the 5 points, you know, the way that it's lined up. So you got wood, earth, metal, water, and fire.
Yeah, it's elemental. It's the elements or early elementalist ideas. Also, Herne, the hunter, and always depicted as a horned man, a man with horns. And the five horns, one at the top of his head and then four sort of interspaced, is very similar to certain types of goat. And basically all of these old pagan images where you have the pentagram, the 5 points of Herne the Hunter and the goat's head, got turned into symbols of Satanism. And do you know who turned them into symbols of Satanism?
Christianity.
Yeah, the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church.
The Roman Catholic Church, because you argued that the Roman Empire didn't actually die. They just changed their name to the Vatican.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Well, apart from the roads. No, we can't do that because we'll get done for copyright.
Irrigation.
Aqueducts. Yeah. Irrigation.
Yeah, all right. Apart from...
I think there was... I'm not sure how true it was, but I believe there was something about goats, and someone said, even if you own a goat, there'll be a time of day when you look out and you can't find it. And that's because it's gone to visit the devil. Because once a day, they all go to visit the devil. Like, I can't remember exactly what that was about or how it dropped into conversation, but it was, and there's an awful lot of goats in the Philippines, but whenever I walk the dog, they're always there. I don't know when they get time to pop down to see Beelzebub.
It's goat's eyes that really get me, actually. Well, that was a funny noise, but goat's
eyes. My speaker shutting down, so I've got these headphones on.
All right. Go on, make your point so we can move on to the next stuff.
It's the shape of the pupil. If you've ever encountered a goat at night,
I have never looked at a goat's pupil, okay?
You've not?
No. When have I ever walked up and thought, boy, I should just look at this goat's pupil right now?
Later on, Google it, have a look at a goat's pupil. It freaks you out if that's the first thing you see whilst walking at night, quite often by myself.
At night, I very rarely see goats or sheep from the front.
That's because of your heritage, obviously.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine from Cardiff that would make a joke about that. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on. Let's go to... Goodness. I knew today was going to be full of antics, but I didn't realize it was going to be that. TikTok. Marty, let's talk about TikTok. I know how much you love TikTok. You're a big fan of it, yeah?
No, I'm not a big fan of it. It encroaches into my life while I'm doom scrolling on Facebook, because TikTok videos will keep popping up, and same goes with YouTube. And I suppose it's my own fault because I've looked at them; they keep coming back, and a lot of them are women doing things that basically demean themselves for the entertainment of incels. And by incels, I mean these involuntary celibates that are stuck in their parents' basement looking at porn. And when they have a break from porn, they'll look at TikTok and YouTube and find very close to porn. So that's their constant diet.
So you think that it has a big influence on our culture and on our society and how people behave?
That is if you consider people who have got no discernible skills, don't look after themselves, and spend far too much time online as part of our society. I would say they are elements of our society that have already removed themselves quite successfully.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's also the younger generation are getting their brains rotted by it as well, because I think, and again, I don't know how much truth there is in this, but the algorithm that runs TikTok in China tends to generate images and videos of more educational content, engineering type problems and things, whereas the algorithm that they get to run in places like America and the UK is more these idiots dancing on the street trying to dumb down the population.
Well, a lot of the ones I've seen fit into both categories. You see people cutting down logs, like women, Chinese women, cutting down big chunks of firewood and then carrying two tabers, for want of a better word, on their back, which most men would struggle to do. But it's all down to the method. Fantastic irrigation systems, really clever plastering, even how to, plaster a wall the most effective way. All these Chinese people doing this kind of stuff. Then, of course, you've got the, wow, look at me. I'm a 6 foot Chinese woman in designer clothes walking through a very metropolitan, cosmopolitan city. And it's all designed to make people in the West, particularly those incels, as a cruel word, but, you know, they kind of coined it for themselves, feeling inadequate.
You mean it has a demoralizing effect on society, more or less?
Absolutely. I've just been playing a lot of Shogun Total War, which is a great... I've still only played about 400 hours of that, whereas I'm up to 3,000 hours on Napoleon, because quite frankly, it's more satisfying destroying the French than it is to destroy the Japanese.
You hear this, Vince? But I've been trying to get him to play a game of chess with me for the last 3.5 months, and he can't seem to get enough of this.
I think you're going to win. That's the trouble. I'm being a bit of a coward. I think you're going to absolutely kick my ass at chess.
I play every day. Is that why?
Yeah. And it's been a long time.
There's nothing wrong with losing as long as you learn from your mistakes. Being from East Anglia and possibly supporting football, I think you should be used to that.
Who says I support football?
I said possibly.
Possibly, no,
he's
yes,
a rugby man. He's a rugby man.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, but we both are. Now, what I was going to say is, in that game, you've got, either with the Jesuit allied clans, you've got these priests that will wander around and demoralize an army, or you've got Buddhist monks that will go and do the same thing from the Buddhist perspective. And if you want to win a war, the best way to do it is without fighting. The best way is just to undermine the morale of your enemy and let desertion and rebellion do the job for you.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, let's take a look at some of the countries. I just happen to have a list here of all the countries that have a ban on TikTok, right? Shall we do that? Let's start with the obvious one. Afghanistan. Yeah, Afghanistan. They have a total ban on TikTok, as in it's not available on any device. I'm not going to go through all the countries that have them restricted from federally issued devices like government phones and things like that, because that would take too long. But just to name the obvious, you've got all the, you know, the English bloc countries, US, Canada, UK, Australia, you know, this, and you've got several European Union countries as well that are blocking all of that for government employees devices only. However, I'm going to stick to just the ones that have a total ban on everything. Afghanistan. The Taliban say that they've decided to forbid access on the grounds that they are protecting young people from being misled.
Well, you can't argue with that, because
you
just pointed that out. However,
ironic. Nope.
It's almost as if Mr. George Galloway is speaking himself on behalf of the Taliban.
Yeah. But you see, this is where the balance needs to come in, because the Taliban is a totalitarian regime.
Yeah.
And from our perspective in the West, the fewer fundamental Islamist anti-West fighting age males that a country produces, the better. So if they are subverted by a Chinese mobile phone application, for us, that would be good. So in this particular case, it's not good for us that the Taliban have banned TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow be, I don't know, airdropping fully loaded iPhones into Afghanistan so that people can, you know, watch TikTok.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, wait till you hear some of these other countries. India, right? No surprise there, right? India's has banned TikTok nationwide. They've also... go on.
Right. As you know, I am just about the only one of us that still uses social media. And it's just as well, because my birthday has just gone and I got 6 cards. However, I got over 100, and I appreciate it, but I got over 108 messages from people all around the world saying happy birthday. Hang on, I had a point. I've lost myself. India. So, as I'm the only one that uses social media, I'm probably the only one that has seen the horrible number of sexual predator type videos, animal cruelty type videos that Indian people are producing. You know, is there more than 1 billion of them? There is, isn't there?
1.3, I believe, and we're climbing.
Which is about the same population as China itself. So there's more than a billion people, and they produce some of the most disgusting videos put onto TikTok and YouTube that any country does. And all the ones that I've reported, because I do that because I'm mean like that, I report them to Facebook or YouTube for various breaches in their terms of use. And the ones that have been successful in being banned and removed have all been videos from India. So, yeah, maybe it would be a good thing to not have people monetized for making horrific rape videos or animal cruelty videos on some form of application.
Right. Well, they have also banned several other applications, such as WeChat, right? Weibo or whatever it is they use in China. That's like their version of WhatsApp because they don't allow WhatsApp over there. So, yeah, there's that. They say that they banned it because they're, you know, there's a, you know, the Indians and the Chinese, you know, they don't like each other. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Well, yeah, I do know that because of the dispute across Kashmir, water, all the farming land.
Yes, of course. Indonesia is another country that has banned the entire application. They're not allowed to have it in there. They say the authorities have clamped down on e-commerce transactions that are promoted on TikTok. So
I may be wrong, but the insurgency into the Philippines of Islamic fundamentalists mostly comes from Indonesia.
Yeah.
So
the last big one in Mindanao was mainly Indonesians.
Well, you remember our friend, her brother was in the armed forces in the Philippines, and she was desperate asking me if I could get hold of night vision goggles so that she could send to him to help him in his struggle against Islamic fundamentalists in Mindanao. And I had to explain to her that there was no way I could do that.
No, you don't do that.
Yeah. But again, Indonesia, it's a Islamic state and it will ban these things. If they were getting the right side of the algorithm, all about how great having a beer is, enjoying pork, and I don't know, just wearing something less than a head-to-toe burqa.
Yeah,
that would be great. But of course, they'll have had their algorithm switched to something else.
Yes, Nepal, they've also had TikTok total ban. They say that it disrupts social harmony and goodwill, blaming it for a flow of indecent material. How can you argue with that?
You can't. Again, Nepal, it's got its problems, hasn't it? I mean, the street crime, Kathmandu is absolutely horrendous. You can't go anywhere without someone trying to mug you. So again, these are all places in decline.
Yeah. Pakistan, you cannot have TikTok in Pakistan. They have banned it four times. They keep bringing it back, or people keep finding workarounds. So they've banned it four times since 2020. They say that it promotes immoral content. Somalia, you can't have it there because it promotes. They've also banned Telegram and some gambling platforms there. Taiwan, go figure, right? Can't have TikTok in Taiwan. And the last but not least, this last country will probably surprise you. Do either one of you want to hazard a guess as to which country actually has a total ban on TikTok, with the exception of their own intelligence services?
Russia.
You're close, Vince.
Close to Russia. Korea?
China.
China.
China has a total TikTok ban for their population, unless you're a member of the intelligence services.
Oh, the irony.
Well, I suppose if
could not make that up.
But these people are making, the people that are on it all the time, these content providers, which is a very polite term for them, they're making money out of it. And if you've got people in communist China who can suddenly make money because, you know, set up an account so that where it gets paid to is in another country, it undermines the control that their government have over them. So I can see why they might do that. But,
yeah, of course.
You know,
or as if they're VPNing, then they can grab content from another country.
Yes. And as we are libertarians, the idea of banning anything that is essentially a peaceful pastime or product is wrong. It doesn't sit well with us. But, you know, the reason I went into each one of those countries and talked about how it affects that country is because everyone's got a different reason for banning TikTok. No one's got a good reason for keeping it. Can you think of a good reason for keeping TikTok?
I can't think of a good reason we should have allowed it to begin with.
Is there not a bill going through the Senate at the moment in America? It's banned on government devices, but they're talking about banning it across the board in America.
They can't actually do that, or they're trying to find another way to work around it. So they're trying to say that it needs to be put up for sale or something like that. They're going at it from a commerce standpoint, saying that the company needs to be sold, or it needs to have different investors or multiple investors instead of just one. So it's owned currently right now by ByteDance, which is the Chinese Communist Party company.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I think it's just it's a democratically controlled Senate. So I think it is just it's window dressing. You know, that's all it is. It's just but
they call it. Go.
Well, they what I'm saying is that they can't. I don't see how we can as in America as a legislative body. How can we force a company that's based in another part of the world to sell, or how can we force them to divest in another country? I don't think we can do that. I think that's beyond the power of that legislative body.
And I think the people that that put the bill forward know that. They've named it the TikTok ban for all the right reasons, but it's actually a social media ban, and it's to do with misinformation. And the conspiracy theory is that if it gets passed, then this then gives, because there's very, very wide-ranging rules, it gives the president the ability to ban or stop certain companies from operating. And they think it's a roundabout way of bringing Twitter to heel now that Elon Musk has taken it over.
Yeah, it's just that it's, and we kind of made something similar, an argument to that a couple of weeks ago, where it's just, if they pass that, it'll just give them carte blanche to do anything they want down the road. So if they don't like Telegram, they'll ban that. If they don't like Facebook, they'll regulate this. The companies themselves, Facebook and some of the and Instagram and, well, it's the same company, but all these other social media companies, YouTube, Google, they want the government to come in and regulate them so they can be able to operate more freely and promote whatever they need with government regulation, as opposed to now where they're having to sit there in front of the House or the Senate committees and answer questions. They don't want to have to do that. So it would be easier for them if the government would come in and regulate. Right. Anyway, I mentioned this yesterday. We didn't really get into it yesterday. We were talking about it in prep a little bit. Marty, the German government here made one of the parties here, they haven't actually passed it yet, but it's on the docket. It's coming up. They're reversing their conscription, if that tells you anything. So they did away with you had to do a 2-year military service when you turned 18 here, or you had to, they changed it in 2011 and they did away with it completely, but they're now trying to bring it back. What are your thoughts on the conscription thing? I know you talked about when you start doing conscription, you're just looking for a body count, but we're just talking about prepping a population for, you know, mobilization if you need it. So I don't think that they should have gotten rid of it in the first place, because I think in my opinion, that's a form of your national defense in a way.
Vince is going to have an equal, if not more important, opinion on this, because the majority of national servicemen in the UK, when we had national service, went into the army. And they did 2 years service. If you went into the Navy, you had to volunteer for an extra year, and you were guaranteed a trade when you came out of your national service. The problem with interim temporary solutions is they become the permanent solution, and they're never quite right. So if you have a big conscript army, as well as your standing armed forces, your regular soldiers, sailors and air persons, they get used. They got used in 1957 in the Suez problem. They got used in other areas. They were used in Aden, which is now Yemen. And I don't think any professional military person wants to be in charge of conscripts, because they don't really want to be there. And if you're talking about, as we were earlier, demoralized armies, a bunch of people who are being forced into uniform, forced to carry weapons, who haven't volunteered to be there, are not exactly the kind of people you want to lead into any kind of conflict.
Well, what do you do then if you have, well, if you have nobody that wants to show up, you're going to have some people coming in to take you over. Then what?
No, what you need to do is make your employment opportunities in your regular armed forces more attractive.
I agree.
That's what you need to do.
I agree. Have you seen the state of the U.S. armed forces? We've got generals and majors and sergeants in dresses and high heels now.
We in here in the UK, despite the fact that we probably owe you a debt of gratitude, have never had a terribly high opinion of your armed forces.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hearken back to the World War II song where it says there'll always be an England as long as there's a USA. All right.
So yeah, and as long as the USA is 2 years late, as it was in both World
Wars. But we showed up. We were sending people before.
Only after we'd already committed most of our national debt to the Lend-Lease program, and it was demonstratively obvious that Germany wasn't going to stop, and nor was Japan. So let's not even go there, shall we?
We were asking our pilots to go fly with you guys. That's what we were doing. We weren't ordering them. We were asking.
I think some of them just came because they knew it was a good idea. And let's face it, if anyone's mad enough to get into a fighter or a bomber, they're going to want to be mad enough to do it wherever possible. You'll always find people who are just there for the conflict. They're not there through any political or ideological reasons. They are just up for a scrap. Yes, we did have quite a few American pilots in the Air Force, in the Royal Air Force, before you guys bothered to turn up after Japan had made it very obvious that you had to.
I think in all fairness, though, although America were very late into World War One and World War Two, I think they did make up for it by being very early in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of under national pressure to do that because somebody had knocked some towers down.
Anyway, before this conscription.
Yeah.
My opinion on national service is that it should never be a substitute for a good standing Army, Air Force, and Navy. And the best thing to do with national service is to identify civil projects that require a big labor force and that will deliver something positive for the country, as well as give young people a sense of direction and some skills that they can use in later life. Even if they never use those skills again, they will have a better appreciation. Like, I mean, this isn't all about me, but in my job as a training analyst, I look at people's jobs, what they do, and I work out what they need to be trained in order to do that job safely and effectively. Not like a vaccine, but safely and effectively.
In a reality sense, though, you are the vaccine for that problem, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah. But I've been a waiter, a chef, a removals man, a skilled electrical mechanical fitter. I've been a weapons engineer. I've been an infantryman. So there's so many different jobs. I've been a communications installer and a manager for big communications companies. Because I've done so many different things, I use the experience from all of those to help me do my current job. And that's what national service in terms of civil engineering, big projects that need lots of people to do it, could do for the young people of a country. Just putting them into a badly fitting uniform, half teaching them how to use their personal weapon and virtually no tactics, but marching up and down the square, which is what a lot of it becomes.
That is true. It is, by the way, it's a victory day today in Moscow. I didn't know if you knew that. They canceled the parade celebrations, but they have a few columns running down through the square there. So they're celebrating.
Well, victory where? Which victory are they talking about? Is it the May Revolution?
It's interesting. You know, the Russians, they don't call it World War II. Did you know that? They don't call it that. They call it the Great Patriotic War.
Ah, I see. Well, yeah, propaganda. What can you expect?
Yes, of course. Well, let's go even younger than this, because we're talking about conscription. We're talking about people of fighting age, so 18 to 35. So when you hit that mark, China has drafted a law that would require military training for elementary school children. I was laughing while you were talking about all your different professions there. I laughed especially hard at when you said the removal specialist.
I just help people move house.
Was that what it was? I thought you were moving them personally out of an establishment.
No, it wasn't a euphemism for wet work or anything like that.
Movers and shifters.
Yeah. Now look. If you kids in back in the sort of Victorian times in schools, and who was after Victoria? Was it Edward?
Edward?
Yeah, they used to do drill. They used to do foot drill at break times.
They used to do organized PT as well.
And you've shown us the video of the idea for American high schools that was suddenly got rid of. Who got rid of it? Who actually scrapped that program? Wasn't it the Kennedys that were trying to bring it in?
Yes. Let me see if I can find that. But you go. I'll roll that as some B-roll behind me. But hang on. But go on. Continue.
Yeah. So it's a way of instilling discipline into kids. Yes, you want to encourage imagination and learning in school, but also discipline is important. So nowadays here in the UK, our underclass have got the most ill-disciplined offspring of just about anywhere. The way knife crime amongst young kids is going through the roof, theft, antisocial behavior, all of those things. If they were involved in things like scouting, Cubs, Army Cadet, Navy Cadet, Air Cadet, those kind of, even Girls and Boys Brigade, if they were involved in something like that, where they were kept busy and given a bit of discipline as well as some fun, then I'm all for it. But the idea of teaching elementary school, so we're talking from the age of 5 to 11 kids.
Something like that, yeah. I think it's like five to ten, yeah.
Giving them any kind of military training is barking mad.
Yes. Well, it is China after all. I am going to play this in its entirety because I want Vince to see it. You know, we were talking yesterday about diets and things and people making choices and how they should live their lives and constructive lifestyles. It's not a dig at you, Marty. It's not a dig at you.
Well, it should be a mess.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
But we were talking about process. You mentioned a lot about processed food. This is before processed food started to come in. It was just beginning, but there were paths that we were on the road to take as a nation in the U.S. And shortly after this, later on the same year, this guy was shot dead.
I welcome this opportunity to speak to the people of America about a subject which I believe to be most important, and that is the subject of physical fitness. And I speak not only as President of the United States, but also as a parent of two children who I hope will grow up with those qualities of vigor and energy which we identify with the best of America. This should be a matter of concern to us all. A country is as strong, really, as its citizens. And I think that mental and physical health, mental and physical vigor, go hand in hand.
Ready up! Last 6 foot, 5 sets, start on ready.
I hope that we will not find a day in the United States when all of us are spectators, except for a few who are out on the field. I hope all Americans will be on the field. This is a subject which should be of interest to us all.
It is possible for young men to achieve difficult physical feats if they're motivated in the right direction.
And I hope when we have seen the astonishing results which we have seen, where we've been able in the short space of 2 and 3 months to change the physical habits and strength of our children, that this will spread to every school district in the United States. All of us will participate, and in so doing, we'll be better citizens and happier ones. This is a challenge for us all, children, boys and girls, college students, mothers and fathers. And all of us, I think, should welcome it. I hope all of you will join in a great national effort to build a strong and better America through physical effort and through the contributions we can make by the drive and force we bring to our daily lives. Thank you.
And you see where we ended up.
Yeah, and the stuff that's on TikTok that the Chinese government would approve of are the things where you're seeing people do amazing physical work in clever ways and show how fit, supple, strong the Chinese people are. And that is still coming across. That's not getting hit by any filter. That stuff is still coming across, and it's going straight into the eyes of the people who spend most of their time online, and that is our forgotten people here in the UK and in the US, in fact, all of the West. We're young men who've got no purpose in life other than to play computer games, which I'm not going to slag off because I love, and all they see is people better and fitter than them. It doesn't motivate them to get out and do it. It just demoralizes them. And that's what happens. So, yeah, those kids in, or the young men in that video from 1962.
Those were high school students at the time.
Yeah, so they're sort of 15, 16 to 17 years old. And they were fit as butcher's dogs. I mean, they all had six packs.
Mind you, that was, and I've gone back and I've done the research on that program that they were talking about. That was 3 months from start to what you saw there. That was 3 months of progress.
And it can be achieved. I think we were talking about it in prep. My short spell in a military prison saw me drop 2 stone in a fortnight and become fitter than I'd ever been. Well, fitter than I'd been in a very long time. Those kind of regimes, if you're there voluntarily, people can get so much out of it. And yeah, the hardest part is putting your kit on. So if it's compulsory, then great. And it's those kind of programs that perhaps conscription might work. But look at our armed forces, and I'll probably get cancelled for being sexist. Our armed forces now, it's about 50-50. 50% men, 50% women. I personally think that has a consequence, and that has a consequence on our young men. Our young men no longer see military careers as what they want, how they can get that second bite of the cherry in education, how they can gain that confidence and those life skills. Because A, there's 50% fewer vacancies because women are taking them, and it's no longer... You know, that when we played army at school or as kids, girls didn't want to play. One or two did, but they'd already decided their roots. You know, it's something that has consequences. We can't turn the clock back. Women have got as much right to do whatever job they like, but it has consequences. And that consequence is demoralized young men.
Are the teeth arms in the UK, so the infantry, the armour, engineers, frontline, are they still only jobs still only open to men?
No.
Or to women?
No, women can
join the infantry?
Yes.
Yeah, that is disturbing.
Submarines,
because
what about submarine service?
Yes, there's women
on
sub
service too. Okay.
Yes, they can.
We had just recently changed that, and I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. I don't.
I think it's because of the physical aspect of it. When I was at the Army Training Regiment, and there was Logistics Corps, REME, and I was a Purbright with the Guards, the Household Division, and the females, the tests that you had to do to join a specific arm or service were gender, initially they were gender free, which was a lie, because to get over the 6 foot wall, girls could use a wooden block because they were too short. Then they became gender free, and in all fairness, they were quite good. So artillery people had to do task-specific physical exercises, like picking up ammunition containers that were full of sand and putting them into a back of a truck that was above head height, because that's what they'd have to do with the shells. And if they didn't pass it, and if men didn't pass it, they weren't allowed to go into that specific branch. What then happened is standards started to drop. So they changed the standards so that people were able to pass those tests.
But health and safety regulations within the armed forces and within training have changed. So that kind of test where you're lifting anything over 25 kilos, I think, you can't do it as a one-man or one-person lift, anything over 25 kilos. And so those kind of tests would no longer be allowed under current, you know, health and safety regulations. And you, like I said, you can't turn the clock back. We've given people those opportunities now, and you can't take them away from them, but you do have to understand that it has a broader impact on society. I would not be a happily married man with no mortgage, my own house, kids, had I not have had my military career, because I would have been a spendthrift and a wastrel and probably wound up on the wrong side of the law in no time at all.
As he was talking about his stint in prison before he...
that was for French policemen, and they don't count.
Well, they should have left you alone. They should have left you alone. You were just trying to take a nap.
I was just having a nap, and they prodded me with nightsticks, and I took them off them, and then they pulled their guns, so I gave in. But anyway, I digress. Right.
I think that's as good a place as any to end it for the day. Any final words before you get away for the week?
No, I'm looking forward to our proper conversation about religion. We've touched on it during the course of today, and it's not because I particularly I've got an axe to grind, but I think it's important to understand why things are the way they are, and I think we can unravel some of that in a dedicated conversation to Bible bashing, Torah bashing, or Quran bashing, or any other kind of religious tome abuse.
Vince, do you have any final thoughts before you'd like to get away? It's good to see you. I'm glad you jumped in. It's always good to see you on.
No, nothing really. I think my stance on national service is that regardless of whether they're used for shit jobs or they're going to be pushed forward to the front line if they've had the right amount of training, whether they want to be there or not, I think that there are more benefits to people going through that and then coming out the other side than there are drawbacks for them. Now, there may be negatives for the regular services that have to work with them, and they don't think they're up to the right standard. I get that. But for society and the population in general, national service is definitely a better thing for people that don't stay in the military and then go into civilian life.
I will see you next week. Actually, I'll see you both next week. So it has been an absolute pleasure having you both on today. So that'll do it for us for today and for this week. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.